joined the play.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the Robb County check sheet for August 21st, 2018. Accounts payable checks cycle date August 13th through August 17th in the amount of $1,089,006.39. Payroll checks $487,191.34. And IRS and state income tax wires in the amount of $194,419.03 for total disbursements approved of $1,770,616.76.
Second.
Items of note, Tom?
Yes, I do. I have a considerable list for you all today. Payment to Kilgore Company. This is road and bridge, and for the asphalt overlay on County Road 129, payment of $245,155.71. Payment to Tyler Technologies, Inc. This is from the IT pool, and for the accounting part, the support for the Munis project, as well as a conversion and the closeout of, or the closure of phase one of that project, payment of $75,585.39. Payment to Eagle County Road and Bridge Department. This is from Road and Bridge budget, and this is for the 2017 winter maintenance for County Road 1, 4, and 4A. Payment of $19,220.18. We also had the distribution of dedicated property taxes. That's the developmental disabilities and museum and heritage funds. You can imagine that 8 months into the year, they weren't large payments at this time of the year. Payment to Motorola Solutions, there's two payments, both from the Comm Center. One is for dispatch console maintenance agreement, and this is a five-year agreement, $17,779.32. And then the second payment from the Comm Center is to replenish the repair bank that we have for their support for the Motorola radios, and we put $9,000 into that repair bank. Payment to Route Plumbing and Heating. This is from the facilities maximum budget, and this is for the three drinking fountains for the historic courthouse campus, $7,584. And you heard yesterday in the work session about how everybody is loving those water fountains. No, not trying to be silly at all.
They
are great. Payment to Spillman Technologies. This is from the IT pool, and this is for the Spillman server replacement for the Spillman software, $143,995. Payment to William D. Wernick. This is for YVRA from YVRA, and 50% deposit for parking lot seal coating, $20,972. Payment to Cooperative Personnel Services, is CPSHR. This is for the Human Resources Job Description Project. Came in at the contracted amount of $2,650. Payment to Advanced Tower Services. This is from the Communications Pool, and this is for Mount Warner and Farwell Tower Improvements and the Grounding Repair Project. So $35,848.33. Payment to Trenton Environmental LLC. This is Road and Bridge, and this is for the purchase of box culverts for Cottonwood Creek and Calf Creek, $75,499.87. Payment to Superior Seating. This is from YVRA, and the three-wire grill purchased rest seating for the restaurant. This is a replacement seating, $4,090.04. We had a payment to the Bell Center. This is from DHS, and this is from HCFP Regional Training. 15 people from DHS Department were trained for $18,750. And then we had the payment to George K. Baum and Associates and Company, rather. This is from the Attorney's Office, and this is for the work they performed on the Marabou Ranch Metro District Financial Review, $2,500.
Any other questions? Discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 So I assume you must be here for the sale of the bridge. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
You're the big $10.
Every little bit helps, Doug.
Well, we're saving...
Are we removing it from the consent agenda?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it was. It's part. Yeah, so I just wanted to make sure that's...
I'll do it after you talk about yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. So yesterday we had our work session, met with the county manager, county attorney, had our public works update, which included road and bridge as well as building and plant, and then we had an update from information technology department.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve consent agenda items A through E.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
By the way, I didn't respond to you, but I got your email.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So thank you.
We all did.
Thank you for talking the other day at the assembly. That was awesome. So do you guys have information? I don't know if we have this.
We had one before, yeah.
So I've talked to you in the past about this, but we're approaching the point now where we have the property. We've gone through planning commission with the city and they've approved the subdivision of the property to parcel off the vacant land between the building and Highway 40. And so
is it just this?
This is already sold off.
Okay.
And this parcel here...
Mark Halverson owns that.
Yeah. And this parcel here is the piece that we're subdividing off to leave the building with 2.2 acres.
There was the old aerial view. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's gone.
Mm-hmm. So it brings it down more in an affordable price range. We haven't set the price yet, but when I talked to the owners yesterday, they said we're safe. It's probably putting the building by itself at $4.5 million. Okay. I quoted in our number 4.6 just to give myself a little bit of leeway. We're anticipating the price in somewhere in the $1.1 million range. We're at 5.5 right now, so that leaves 4.5 remainder on the building. They do own the property free and clear. They're willing to work with the county on ownership and leasing the building prior to the purchase. And just simple math, if we're at $4.5 million and we put a 5% interest rate on there, plus the taxes, that would put a lease rate somewhere in the range of $23,000 a month that they would consider leasing for. They're fairly open on the terms, but I threw out a 3-year lease with the either the option or the right to buy at the end of the period for $4.5 million. And that lease rate is very similar to what the steamboat today was paying after the ownership of the building changed, or after the ownership of the newspaper changed. And I believe that's within market rate too. It's the building is roughly $23,000.
Is that about right now for 5%? For commercial loans?
Yeah.
Typically, what kind of term are those loans? 15 years?
Generally, 20. Yeah, 15 to 20.
15 to 20.
Yeah,
okay.
Is what they're looking at. You're probably more along lines of 6%
on a commercial loan.
And but in today's environment, on a 3-year, I thought a 5-year, 5% was fair.
Do you have any idea if you were to try to price the office side and the old printing press side, how those, like if we came in with a partner and we were going to sell the printing press, any idea how those would divide out among the $4.5 million?
I'd have to do some more work on that.
Okay.
Honestly, whatever I'd be saying is just kind of a crapshoot. You know, I'm guessing, you know, if we're looking at, you know, the unfinished space is probably a third of the price, and finished space is probably 2/3 of the price.
Okay.
As far as the percentage.
Okay.
I would question that. So I think that the finished side needs enough work to make it usable that it's closer to 55-45 or 60-40.
Okay. Well, and the other thing I wonder is
that, no, like you said, yeah. it's just we're just spitballing.
Yeah.
I just returned from some meetings down in Cortez and with DOLA, and there was an old office space and printing press. It had been the newspaper, exactly like this building.
Mm-hmm.
And the town of Cortez purchased it, and they took the printing press and they built a whole second mezzanine level in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they turned it into a two-story office building mm-hmm. on the mezzanine side. So there may be some more utility to the unfinished space simply because you could get a second story out of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes it a little more...
I think there's enough parking for to... Depending on who's
handle another there. Story on the print set.
Yeah, I mean, there's more than enough parking right now.
For now, yeah.
So I, you know, Cam, we've been talking about this. We've been looking at this, certainly on a lot of levels. You mm-hmm. know, this property makes good
Our
sense.
Temperature changes when the price of the cleft goes up.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that we have a couple of significant problems. Number one, we need to get done with the cleft, and the cleft. Certainly,
the law enforcement
mm-hmm.
Certainly consumed what available cash that we had. And as you know, we were fortunate enough to be able to do this project with cash. We haven't borrowed any money to do it. So, I mean, that's obviously a problem for us. Number two, I don't know if Kerry's had the opportunity to talk to you about what we see the potential impacts of the residential assessment ratio revision that the state is considering under the Gallagher Amendment
okay.
that may really have, until we kind of know where that's going to land, it's really tough for us to project into the future what kind of available funds we're going to have.
And we don't think we'll know that number until early 2020. So we'll do our budget in 2019 for 2020, but we'll do this budget, and then it could drastically change first quarter of 2020 based on what the state legislature does.
That's not to say that this is a dead duck. I mm-hmm. just think that I think we're kind of holding our breath on a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if we were to enter into a 3-year lease agreement, we could walk away from it at the end of it and not purchase it.
It depends on how we structure
okay.
it. If the owner said 3-year lease commitment, that's it. Then, you know, and they agree to that, then, yeah, you could walk away from it. If they said, you know, we'll do this on a lease to purchase with a specific performance clause in there saying, you know, at the end of 3 years, you have to buy the building.
Yeah.
There's two different
sure.
things there.
Yeah, and
so,
and they can be negotiated any way mm-hmm. we want.
And the COP would be surely cheaper than the 5.
Yeah.
Too.
Yes.
Because it'd be tax exempt as well.
And then do you have any idea what we could sell this downtown campus for, the Human Services building and the cabin and the vacant lot?
Yeah,
you should ask.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Three lots.
I did do a little bit of research on there. Last year, a lot sold right down there by Smell That Bread.
Uh-huh.
Just up the hill from there, and it was a smaller lot. It was 0.12 acres, and it sold for $350,000. You have approximately 4 lots the same, similar size of that, a little bit larger, and you know, just using those numbers, that puts it out about $1.4 million. Our environment's better. I think there's more useful property there with those. So I would probably say you're probably add, you know, maybe 10% to that. So I think it's probably somewhere in the $1.5 million, $1.6 million range in bulk. And I look at that in marketplace, and I think it makes sense. You know, there's a lot of
money. Of course, someone, whoever bought that, would also have to take on the expense of tearing down the existing buildings.
There is a demo cost there, yeah. But I think in the overall scheme of things, it's, you know, maybe it's...
50. You know, for a different purpose, we don't know that... They're big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they might not. I would.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. I thought we would too.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously we can't. I mean, we can't make any. I mean, we can't really negotiate anything with you here. You know?
I'm happy to if you'd like.
Well, I don't think this is the proper setting.
I'm very interested and have been all along, and it's Doug and Tim that kind of change horses every now and then. Where we're headed.
Yeah, I mean, from our perspective on the surface,
I was doing
it makes a lot of sense, dollars and cents wise,
mm-hmm.
If we had the dollars and cents. That's mm-hmm. really, I think, what it comes down to for us. and we don't have the dollars and cents.
What?
If we were going to borrow money, then we don't know that our long-term budget's going out and can absorb that annual cost. And that's the conversations we need to have here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's true.
And I'm sure, and we understand that the property's for sale, and you could have a buyer tomorrow, and you're going to move forward with the first and best buyer that you've got. We get that.
Well, we've had a couple buyers in the past, and I guess part of the thought of what they're doing is to see if there's something that we can work with the county on. And they've kind of pushed those offers aside to see.
There can't be that many buyers that have the needs that we have.
No, but we've had two offers on the property already. And
had you thought about subdividing the building itself?
It's a whole other process, so
it is.
And so we haven't.
So I guess we could schedule it for a public discussion at some point. But I mean, what if we could get a 4-year lease agreement and move in there and spend 4 years figuring out exactly what we need to do to the building, who we're going to sell the other half to?
What are you going to do at the end of the 4 years if we don't have any money?
Move back into this campus. I don't know, but it gives us time to figure it out.
It allows
us to get the building.
I appreciate throwing every idea out there, talking about this.
The noose effect.
The
noose effect.
Oh.
I mean, I think it's a good idea that we think about, talk about every crazy idea that we have.
Right.
I think that's okay.
My thought was, you move in, you get the property sold over there. Basically, you're looking at $3 million difference between the valuation between what you're selling and what you're getting. And then what's going to be the cost for you if you did have to rebuild the human service building? And between now and...
Well, we already know that's fine.
We've been given a number that's probably already irrelevant in light of today's building conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, the schematics of building downtown with another building and putting somebody in a place, and we'd ultimately have to build a parking garage as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not very appetizing thought.
Yeah, and when I drove by there this morning, I see the building, the shared law facility being erected with steel, and like that's there right down the street is this building. It just makes such sense to me to have everything in one area right there, rather than taking the downtown space.
And again, just to reiterate, I mean, there's a lot about that property that makes really good sense for us. It's really.
But the other thing, I mean, we're still struggling about, if we were to do something like that, would we not try to fix the flaws in the building first before we went?
Yeah, we also have the Steamboat Architectural Associates did an assessment for the city of Steamboat, and we've reviewed that, and we know that we probably will be spending $1 million on top of whatever the purchase price is in order to make the building functional for our uses. I mean, it does have some drawbacks with insulation, the roof, the windows, the mechanical systems, which is fine. I mean, it's we recognize it's a 20-year-old building. It needs some stuff. But again, we here internally inside of the county really need to have a serious discussion about what our appetite is for taking on debt.
$276,000 a year.
Yep. And given the fact that we play a zero-sum game here with our budget because we're taper limited, in essence, taking on that additional debt service means something else needs to go away. So we have some priorities to discuss here.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, we typically have we don't like to say we have it, but we usually come in under budget on our personnel and operating, and we shovel that money away into the road and bridge pool. But, if we have that type of variance and we have a 4 or 5 year lease agreement, it could be that at the end of the lease term, we pay cash for it, and we don't have the certificates of participation.
Well, we pay down the lease, too.
Especially if we get Dole money, or we sell the printing press to another entity.
Yeah. Big ifs.
Big ifs.
So I don't think, again, just to reiterate, I don't think there's anything for us to negotiate with you at this particular point in time until we internally get to a point where we think, yeah, maybe we really should pursue this. I think
and then we have to make sure the two of you are on the same page for at least a few weeks together.
Oh, yeah, we can still switch positions on this.
So let's get a feedback from
you guys keep trading
horses. Finance department, how much money we don't have or whatever.
Right. So,
be good.
Tom, did you have something to add to the conversation?
Yeah, we have an agenda item waiting here.
Oh, okay.
I made my comments about the 270.
Yeah.
All right.
And thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I know you can do that.
Do you want me to leave this with you?
No, okay. Take it.
Okay. I'll keep mine. Okay. Call me if you have any other questions.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Cap.
I think we're ready, Mo.
Appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is any of this rain falling on the Silver Creek fire?
Some.
Good.
It was raining hard at my house this morning.
Mine too.
It looked black out that way.
Well, this should be really quick. We had our call this morning. It wasn't quite unanimous this week, but our recommendation is to stay in stage one. I say not unanimous because I know Oak Creek specifically would like to come out of restrictions altogether. Steamboat would like to stay in, but look at coming out next week if this trend continues. And then North Route was probably the most adamant about staying stage one because they have not had as much rain up north as down south. And West Route would like to stay in stage one. So while it wasn't unanimous, it was obviously in favor of staying in stage one. As far as our neighboring counties, no one is in stage two anymore. No one will be in stage two effective this weekend. So Rio Blanco is going to go down to stage one. And right now they said Saturday morning, but I think that was a mistake. I think they meant Friday morning.
What about Grand County?
Grand County's been in stage one.
Yeah, Jackson was the other one.
Jackson will be coming out. They'll be going to their board on Thursday, and they'll be coming out of stage. They'll be degrading down to stage one on Thursday. So everyone else will be in stage one. Moffitt continues to stay in stage one.
Is this primarily the result of recent weather?
Mostly, yes. We've had down, I think Chief Weiskopf said they had over an inch down south. So they've had a lot of moisture. So North Route's the one that's
Not putting up hay for a little while yet.
The least rain. So
you should have cut earlier.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Thank you for that. So Mo and I had a discussion yesterday, and I think I forwarded you guys at least one email, and I had a couple of phone calls, and had a number of citizens that stated that they really thought we should go into stage two, even if the technical criteria didn't necessarily justify it, because they felt that it would put our citizens on a higher alert, our visitors on a higher alert to be careful. I think if the weather had stayed hot and dry over the last week and we hadn't seen this, I might have been persuaded to push for stage two, but based upon what you're telling us today, and based upon the recent weather, I'm comfortable staying in stage one.
Me too.
So are we going to table this and put it back on next week? And then if we are, we probably ought to change the language on the...
we're going to come out.
Maybe, or to consideration to come out.
Yes. So Mr. Chair, I move that we table this agenda item to August 28th. And note that we want to also advertise that we'll not only be considering stage two, but looking at coming out of stage one. Back to no restriction.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Keep the rain coming. I'm hauling water.
Doing my best.
Come on up. Fred, Patrick.
Thank you.
Does everybody have the big packet in here?
Yep.
Come on. What are you drinking? What's in there?
Orange juice.
Okay.
Nice.
Looks like pineapple, actually.
Nice. Orange juice, nice.
Good morning. Are you guys ready?
Good morning.
Yeah. All right. So what we're bringing to you today is consideration approval to sign the resolution for canceling uncollectible taxes dated from 1983 to 2010. And what that amounts to is $66,323.85. And you have all of them in front of you, and they've been, we have meticulously gone through this whole list. This is a list that has been presented numerous times, but they had different years to them also in the past. And these are the ones that, by state statute, we can't collect anything past 6 years, statute of limitations. Like, oh, we have had that with some other issues. So these cannot be collected by our office anymore. And majority of
them. Does that apply to all of the categories?
All the categories, but not obviously real estate.
So let's do these one at a time, yeah, too, because sure, we're going to have each one of them have sure, a separate sure, motion sure, and a resolution.
And I appreciate that. And so, and I just want to be able to get to put the, what we always call the bluff first, the bottom line up front first.
Yep.
The advantage to this is that once these get on the resolution done, I send them down to the assessor. He certifies and appropriates this money as proportional to all the different entities, taxing authorities, and they can come back and say, we need a one-time increase of our mill levy to go after this money. So they'll be able to get the money back that's been lost since 1983 to 2010, and then also them to get the treasury fees on it. So we'll go one at a time.
Sorry, I'd still like to back up. So just,
sure, sorry. I apologize. I go fast.
No, that's all right. We interrupt and back up a lot, too. So just to be clear, we don't have any statutory ability or authority to collect any of these taxes.
Correct.
Anyway?
Correct. We're done. We're past it. Anything from 2011 to 2016, we're still working on. We're getting a lot of the 11s. We're attached to 12 and 13, working on getting to those people. If I can't get to them, then we are going to put them to collections. And so that's what we're going to work on after this, so that we're still going after. We have one scenario where, I'll share about that one, personal property, just give you an idea. Somebody sold it, was bought and sold, $1.5 million. I don't have the name in front of me. And there was personal property attached to it. And as everybody knows, all taxes follow the property. About $664, he didn't want to pay it. It was presented to him even at his closing. We have all the data and all the emails going back and forth, and he refused to pay it. So we know that the personal property isn't there to sell, because I'm going to be selling personal property on the ones I can that are within the six-year statutory of limitations. And he's very, very angry about it, and he's like, I'm not going to pay. I'm like, okay, because there's nothing I can actually even go sell, because nothing's in that house anymore. It's past old personal property, and we're just going to send it to collections. And he says he's going to take me to court for it, but there's law saying that all taxes follow property.
So the first resolution that's in our packet is sure, possessory.
Right.
And also in our packet was when we met on this in 2015. At mm-hmm, that time, the possessory interest that we canceled was like $58,000, and now it's down to $6,900.
Right. I was able to get some. If you notice, someone goes to 2010, and all the packet had 11, 12, and 13 in it. This
okay,
one, back in the old days.
Okay.
So there's different years in that,
okay,
and we've been able to clean them up because a lot of them were like erroneous, and we were able to make the changes we needed to make them, to put them back to be accurate.
Okay.
So the ones on the top half are totally inactive. And so these are these different ones. So if you looked at the third one down, Pentecostal Holiness Church of $1,000 back in 1994. Well, it's inactive because they went non-profit, so they don't pay anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But back in 1994, nobody went after them for this amount.
Okay.
And so I can't sell that. I can't do anything with it because it's just a inactive account. But it still sits there and collects and looks like we're collecting this kind of money. We don't have it. So that's what those kind of inactives are, like Schofield and Boyce. And Boyce family, those in the 80s, the Boyce, Schofield, when their one family member passed away, their father, they proportioned out all these mineral interests or partial interests or possessory interests. And then since then, now the mother died, and all the grandchildren have a portion of that. So these aren't even inactive because they're not even accurate accounts anymore, because every one of these accounts got partitioned like three or four more times.
Okay.
Downstairs.
So we asked Gary to look at these, and he looked at the possessory, and there were three that he thought should be removed.
Okay.
One was Zephyr Helicopter, and then the two C2 Real Estate Holdings, and then Red Runner Dog Sled.
So why would he do it?
he was saying that, for example, like Red Runner Dog Sled has a special use permit with the county, and she's still operating.
But it's past these years. But I can't statute of limitations. Okay. I can't go after them anymore.
Okay.
And then taking them off and taking these dates off is only going to hurt our taxpayers in the long run when they can go and get a proportion of it and reassess it and get the money back in another format with their tax, raising their mill levy just a little percent. So I can't go after it anymore.
Okay.
You could theoretically, and this is just theoretically, continue to ask these people.
Well, yeah, but it's
you have no leverage.
Right, exactly. There's nothing left. Like right now, with all the possessory interests, the letters was dated yesterday, going to all the current people that are like I've said in the past, we've done in the past, go to all the lien holders, and then also to BLM Forest Service and all the people saying, hey, if these guys don't pay their taxes, we need you need to cease operation with them with their leases. And then we have one for the city of Steamboat for the airport. And then two that usually Mr. Booth takes care of with the airport hangars that we have those. So we are
even
always
though we
working
have
on
wide latitude under our special use permits,
so
I mean,
just
wide latitude.
Right.
We couldn't use that to make Carol Bloodworth pay her $118.
Well, again, yeah, statute of limitations, they're going to come back to me with their lawyers saying I can't collect after 6 years. So we have that bigger, greater one of the limitations that I can't go after them for it. But like you said, having this going down to the assessors and him reapportioning it, and we're still going to get the money, just not from her. Or a portion of her when she pays her next tax.
It's an interesting question about this.
Okay.
It's an interesting question about special use permits. I mean, could we include a condition of approval?
I bet it's already in there.
We already have in there that their fees have to be paid.
Yeah,
but not taxes.
Fees.
But what about taxes?
Well, I don't know. We've included
it. We should think about it the next time we issue a special use permit and say, hey, it's contingent upon you paying all of your taxes.
And not go delinquent is really the words.
I would suspect it might already be in there.
What? But you would. Yeah.
Then can.
And I don't think he's going to hire a lawyer instead of paying $118.
Well, I don't think the other one's going to hire a lawyer for $600 on a $1.5 million house. But
so how
he's
going to
hold out as long as he can.
So these go back to 2012, right?
10.
And so how, and then how are we doing on 11 and 12?
11 and 12 and 13, like I said, and forward. I'm worked really hard on everything. You guys do know that last year we sold all the county health liens. Because all I did, I didn't sell what you guys own. It's a separate topic. I sold the taxes, like a junior lien. So in 3 years, as long as they keep paying on them, because most of them are obviously minerals and real estate, what I can sell, they're going to come and they're going to say, okay, now we want to get the deed to it. We're going to have to let you guys know in 3 years, 3 years after this, probably 2 years after this next November, then you guys decide whether you want to pay for them, which I don't think you do because they're just things that nobody wants, and that's why they're there and they didn't get sold before me. Because I've sold everything on every tax sale since I've been here, since I've been online. So there's nothing new in the county health liens. Then you guys decide whether you want to pay at all or let them have it for what they paid for, the junior lien. And the past gets wiped out. But it gets activated. That's the best part. Because what didn't get sold or got sold and then didn't get paid off this last county held liens, it's just going into the taxing sale in November.
So
let's move on with this one. So
you're okay with
are we all right with this one?
Possessory?
Yeah.
My only question is there any chance we want to remove those four and see if, based on the permits that they have with the county, we can use that leverage to get it?
Well, then those four I'm going to probably have to give to you to do because I don't have that opportunity to do that because I have the statute of limitations as a state, as the treasurer.
And we'd have to run it through the one would have to go through planning.
Right.
Well, but I mean, for purposes of today, it would be simple enough to
figure
remove
it out.
The four and
yeah,
come up
see.
With a new number.
Let me see what the
we didn't cancel those. It's not much of a risk on our part. So.
Well, we're still going to get recoup it.
On the way.
Zephyr and Assessor
gives
C2
the
real estate
opportunities
see.
For the taxing authorities to go ahead and raise their increase by X number of dollars of the $66,000 based on their area, based on their mill levy.
Okay. So this is what – so Zephyr has a permit from BLM.
Right.
And C2 Holdings has a permit with the state land board. So what Gary is suggesting is that we should reach out to BLM and State Land Board and ask them not to renew or grant any new permits until they've paid their delinquent taxes. So he thinks through those two agencies and then on the Red Runner Dog Sled that maybe we could get that through
SUV. We could do that, but there's still to a point where I still have to go through somebody else. They still own, we've been through this many times before. The BLM and the airport, they all still own the lease, and it's still up to them. We don't have Treasures. We know this is a huge deal. Treasures don't have this leverage you're talking about.
Right.
Down south, down in, not Ignacio, but down in like Sawatch and down in those counties, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars of possessory interest in railroad tax, and they refuse to pay it, and the county has no leverage. And they some of those counties might go under because of it.
How about we... pass a resolution today removing those four and then take a week to talk to planning? And
I appreciate what you're saying, but it's not a huge amount of money. I understand.
Okay. I'm more concerned about the next year's
going forward
with those same parties.
I think that's a great conversation for us to have with our BLM and our Forest Service partners about moving forward. But maybe for sake of simplicity, go ahead and eat these ones and decide moving forward that we're really going to work on it. Because my guess is backing up on these is going to be
unsuccessful. Because I have lawyers to go forward. I truly appreciate that. And we're not eating it because we're still going to get it back.
From all the tax shifts.
It's kind of like we do with Tabor to credits.
Yep. I know. 034.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we...
Do you have original you need me to sign?
And should we include the dollar amount in the motion?
We're going to cancel uncollectible possessory taxes in the amount of $6,877.01. And then, Keegan, you'll put this Exhibit A into the minutes so we know exactly which counts those are.
Second.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. I don't have any questions on the utilities.
Thank you. How about
Bubble? Yes,
utilities. Or utilities. No.
Utilities,
okay.
Yeah.
So you want me to do that one?
I don't care.
I'll go ahead and do it. So, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolution number 2018-035.
Yeah.
035. A resolution canceling utility taxes determined to be uncollectible in the amount of $16,774.88.
Second. I was waiting for Doug to call a question.
Any discussion?
Who's waiting?
All those in favor say aye.
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 I don't have any questions on mobile home.
Thank you.
Yep. 36. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve a resolution 2018-036, canceling mobile home taxes determined to be uncollectible in the amount of $1,541.64, and we'll include that Exhibit A in our
second.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Do you have any questions about improvements?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolution number 2018-037, a resolution canceling improvements only taxes determined to be uncollectible in the amount of $6,236.23.
Second.
So I have a question on this one. So
first of all,
we had the Maniotis on the Crawford, did we get that settled out somewhere?
It was settled out on the treasurer side. We decided that we would move that tax off of Crawford and put it to Maniotis. They're paying for it.
Oh, they are?
Yes. It was a whopping $12 and something cents. It wasn't
on the
much.
Improvements only?
Yeah, that thing got shifted over and we got it moved over because it got into current.
Yeah, okay.
So from our standpoint, it got that, done.
That's all fine.
These other ones were, I don't know, it wasn't there. So then also on personal property, any other questions?
We're still...
This is 2020.
Still improvements.
Oh, improvements. I'm sorry.
Improvements. Just finished improvements.
I apologize. I thought there was
we're a still fine. Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Now we're on personal property.
Am I wrong? No, we're on personal property.
Any other questions?
It's just, I mean, I think this is the one that raised the most questions for me, at least. It's frustrating to see businesses that are still operating here in town that are on this list.
Right.
And so how do we prevent that moving forward?
Moving forward, here's a couple pieces I can do. For like, let's just use Cantina, lovely Jeff. Thank you very much for leaving us all that bad debt. He didn't pay anything, hung up his phone, wouldn't contact us, everything got returned, blah, 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 blah. The Semi, is there the same? The Semi?
Besame.
I apologize, Besame. I walk in there now and say, hey, you need to pay, here's your taxes. He's like, no. I'm like, look, I'll just take pictures. We can do now personal property sale, and I'm going to do that online. So when you just take pictures of it. So it's not like everyone has to go to the property like the old days and look at it. We're able to take pictures and sell them. But nine times out of ten, whenever I walk in and hand them the bill, they take money out of the register and give it to me because I won't take a check either. I take certified funds. So it's just working very diligently on it. When you have personal property, you have it going into condos, what ends up happening is a lot of times they're doing it, they don't give a list, they don't do a, what do you call it?
Declaration.
Declaration. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, I forgot. And so then it goes BIA. And BIA in my head is Bureau of Indian Affairs, but it really is best information available. So then we get to a point where all I can do is send them to collections because I don't have a list of the refrigerator, of the stove, of the bedroom, you know, the beds, and the the equipment in there.
Does the same 6-year statute of limitations apply to personal property as well?
Yeah, exactly. So all I can do is move forward, and then, like I said, this list is de minimis. There's very little on it anymore because we have sold everything. We're not letting anything dangle anymore.
Yeah, I noticed. I mean, when you were here in 2015, the number was over 100,000.
Right.
And is that because there were additional years or because you were able to
collect? Both. Okay. And that was because we've just been hard stop when they call. And like this gentleman, like I said earlier, is just saying, well, I'm not paying it. And so what ended up happening in that one, and I don't know if you know, I don't know the details, I don't know the rest of the story, but as soon as that title company and went through that whole process, somebody was removed from the title company who's no longer working there because they let that go. So we're finding out the problem is in the title company. They're not doing their due diligence. They're not looking at the sister accounts, sibling accounts. They're not making sure that all these I's are dotted and tight T's are crossed.
Do these bills get returned to you if they don't pick them up?
Yeah, they just get a return mail, just on deliverable.
So that makes...
We did a lot. We're really good at Google, really, now.
Because I mean, if somebody goes out of business, they're not going to care to tell you that he
went out of
business.
Oh, no, they don't tell us. And they're not telling the person that just bought them. Yeah. But yet they're still using the same oven and the same stove and the same dishwasher. So we just go into the next person and wait for that. We try to keep an eye on them when they're shutting down. We knew when Jeff was shutting down. He was, he just shut down his phone, shut down everything.
And did you say when you walk in with a bill, most people just open the cash register
and just give me cash? Yeah, because they try to give me the chair, kind of give it back. I'm going, no, I can't sell that out in the street. But yeah, I'll take cash today. So I don't have a problem doing that. I mean, we need it. Everybody has to be fair and equitable for everybody.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve resolution number 2018-038, a resolution canceling personal property taxes determined to be uncollectible in the amount of $34,924.09.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Going forward, appreciate it.
Here with Matt Mendesco, or Hayden Town Manager. Matt, turn it over to you.
Okay, so last year when I talked to you guys about all of the projects we were doing, and I talked to you about a signage project that we were going to come forward with, and we'd like to, request some help funding that project. Just a little bit of background. I got our AG&C grant. Part of the total project. I applied for a beautification and signage project with AG&C. That was a $14,000 request. Our project's actually more than that, but that's what I requested, $7,000 of that from AG&C. They did award us that grant. We have done everything but the signage, essentially, and we've been having to work out some CDOT approvals. We got those CDOT approvals, essentially. We got the final specs that we need to use and things like that. That enabled us to put together a budget then. And we're not going to be able to do the entire project that I thought we would.
So the grant from agency was for actual construction or for design work?
It was for actual construction.
Okay.
We already had the design, and okay. I've included that with the email that you can send to you guys. It essentially, our design here meets the CDOT spec, and we're going to be doing a couple different signs. Some of these signs, like one of them, I think, or two of them actually, could benefit the county or will, because one of the directions, this is directional signage, and one of them is going to be pointing to Rock County Fairgrounds. It's going to be on the corner of Highway 40 and Poplar Street on the south side, southwest corner. So there'll be a directional signage. It'll be like the first one. If you look in your title, it'd be like B1. So if you miss the very first, it'd be like this arc one. The arc is actually going to be, we're going to do all of the work ourselves, other than making their actual signs, while the sign company do that. But we're going to put in do the concrete, and we're going to put in the posts and everything else. So we went out and priced that stuff out, because we can just buy the materials cheaper, and it's probably a project, what I would call in my between winter and wrapping up summer, that my public works department can get out and actually put in. And so we're going to be putting, and so I broke that out based on the designs in my email that I sent to Tegan, and we have our budget there. Last year,
the $5,400.
Right, that's project. The total cost of the project.
So, I'm just.
Where did you find that?
It was on my. It's on the website. There it is, right there. You got
okay,
it.
Last.
So, wait a minute. Are we talking about two different things? So what was the AG&C grant for?
So, the AG&C grant is funding part of this. So, it's funding a quarter of the total project. So, it's funding the $5,400. A fourth of that is being funded by AG&C, and then
I thought the AG&C grant was for like $7,000. You said
it was, but it included more than just signage.
Oh, okay.
The entire project was
what's the rest of the what's the
planners and everything? It was $25,000.
Okay, all right.
We funded AG&C funded $7,000 of it. We've funded the remaining amount. This is the last part of the $25,000, which is $5,400.
Okay.
And, you know, I've allocated part of the AG&C project for this, the town. And I didn't put an exact request because I know it's kind of late in the year. And last year we talked and it was like, well, we may be able to have a couple thousand, but you weren't sure. You said, come talk to us when you have a budget. So that's what we're doing. And in essence, we're here requesting, you know, what you think you guys can afford, because I know it's kind of later in the year, and if you divide that by four, AG&C is paying for $1,350. We're going to make this project happen either way, but if you guys can afford something similar to that, or maybe a little bit more, that would be helpful.
I just have to say, so we just looked at our discretionary budget because we had another funding request for $1,200.
I felt like I was at terrible timing.
And one thing I'd say is I am much more supportive of these type of projects than giving money to individual children in Route County to go to events.
I think we need to rethink our discretionary budget and put some parameters, you know, for next year, how we, because it's just shotgun approach is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I understand that if I'm late in the year, I completely understand that.
I want to do things that benefit, you know, whole communities.
And, in, you know, like I said, one of these signs we
rather
plan
than
on.
The Women's Conference?
And I also wanted to give you guys the opportunity that if you guys, say, wanted to put some sort of fairground sign or whatever else, we'd be happy to package that on. You know, if Jill wanted to do that or whatever, we'd be happy to package that in. If you guys wanted to, because we have the design.
Because your signage, you must countenance the ability to add signs in the future for things you've
This is going to be a three-year program, so we're starting with this initial phase. Next year we'll have some more, and then on the final year we'll finish out are. If I have a, an
but,
actual...
But what I'm saying is that your project, you're envisaging X number of signs.
Yes.
That's the project.
Yep.
But it's going to take you 3 years to complete that project.
Yeah.
But
so
I mean,
that doesn't make any sense. Is the $5,400 going to be spent this year?
It will be. This is phase one.
So there's a you haven't developed a budget for phase two and phase three yet?
No.
Or, okay.
Because we don't know how many signs.
You will have done the full $25,000 project by the end of this year.
That's right.
And then you're going to...
Because they've got to close out their AC&C grant just like we do.
Okay. Right. So I'll close out the $25,000 one. Next year, I'll have additional downtown beautification, more signage as a total project.
Would it be more helpful for you for us to be contributing something in 2019 that we can include in our 2019 budget?
That would be fine.
Would you be more comfortable with that?
We could definitely.
I would say let's give them half of what we have left in our discretionary fund and then put something in for next year.
Yeah. And
we're setting a precedent here.
For what?
On what?
Well, because Yampa will be coming back in and asking for money for their signage project.
That's okay.
Okay.
Well, again, it makes a lot more sense than funding the women's conference. Sorry.
Oh, no, I don't disagree with that.
I mean, this is something.
Although I'm very supportive of women's issues and women's causes.
I understand. So am I. Yeah.
Well, I am a woman. So I'm going to one-up you.
Exactly.
So I would be okay. I agree. I mean, we've got $1,200 left. I'd be happy to devote $600 of it.
We need to figure out where we spent that money on. I don't remember.
Well, we did $3,600 to the Northwest COG for our participation in the broadband
project.
And then I think that's we gave a couple kids $500 each to
the
go
big
to
shop went to the Northwest COG.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very important. $600 would go a long way.
Yeah, what do
we'll actually pay for one sign, and we'll make sure it goes towards the Ralph County Fairground line.
And then, as soon as the other thing, if you really want more in 2019, we're going to need to hear from you very shortly because we're going into our budget process.
Send us a letter so we can.
I will send you a letter with project cost because I now that I know how much these signs actually cost, relatively speaking, I mean inflation, you know, a little bit. I can create a budget fairly quickly, and we're doing that now. We're in our budget process too, so I can send, you know, Tom and Dan something that says, "Okay, here you go."
So, are we going to be asked again for that Northwest COG thing again next year?
We've got it budgeted for through.
So it needs to come out of our discretionary.
Exactly,
I think it did this year.
No, it's coming out of our discretion.
That's what I'm saying.
You must see it in a
different I want to see a separate line item.
Frank, I thought we took it out of discretionary this year. We didn't put it in discretionary this year, but I'll check it out. But we do have it in there for
a separate line item. Helen has said she's getting ready to write a check for $3,600 out of our discretionary account for the Northwest COG project.
Okay. Well, I'm all right with the 6. I would have been all right with 12. We just say no to anybody else. So 6 is fine.
Yeah, whatever.
I can be open to that. I mean, I was kind of going in there hoping that Helena told us that we were completely out of money. We can just say no to everybody from now on.
Okay, so. Let's give them all 12 and say no.
You can zero.
I'm fine with it.
Let's zero it out. We'll give them $1,200.
Look at that. Wow. Thank you very much.
Because what are we going to do with $600? We're going to give it to some kid to travel to Washington, D.C. for a conference.
Yeah. I'll obviously submit reimbursement. We'll build it. And then
you ask me before a sandwich, I fold like a house.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow.
So I guess the one thing I would say is I think this is a great project. I think these signage projects, I mean, I go through Kremling and it's like, you know, Kremling signs look great. I mean, really, it's a cheap way to spruce up the town. So,
it is.
And so I'm going to be excited to see it because Yampa is hopefully going to keep working. They've got a completed design. They just need to build it.
The plan.
Next year.
They've got a plan. They just need money. Yeah.
And our plan is fully developed as well, with locations and everything. Next year, we'll be doing the big pole banner things. Mm-hmm. We're going to do two of those.
One like Oak Creek has.
Yeah.
Have you seen Oak Creek? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to do those next year as well, some more directional signage. So.
All right. Great.
So we've got a motion on that?
Mr. Chair, I move that we give the town of Dayton $1,200 for a discretionary budget for their signage project.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 It's looking more and more like I'm going to be
I thought we were still at 1:30 on my brain.
So we have our 1 o'clock item. We got the 2017 audit letter, consideration authorization to release the 2017 audit letter. So,
Eric,
turn it over to you.
This one's
an executive session. Executive session, Doug.
Oh, well, unless maybe requested. Do we want to? I don't even. We've already seen the letter. I don't even. We just make a motion to release the letter.
Unless you have questions about that, the audit.
No, I didn't have a question about the letter.
The audit letter contains information that would be subject to the attorney-client privilege. If you don't have any questions, I suggest just make the motion, and we can then release the post-dated audit letter to the auditors.
It's still in a confidential client-attorney situation.
Yes.
Right.
But if you want to talk about it.
No, I didn't need to talk about it.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we authorize the county attorney to release the 2017 audit letter to the county's auditor.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, so then our next item is we're going to go into executive session for it because we are going to be discussing our docket and pending matter review. So, Doug Munger, acting as the chair, moved that the county board of county commissioners go into executive session to discuss the docket and pending matter list with our county attorney and staff. This executive session will not be electronically recorded or produced. In the executive session, that's fine. And anyhow, the executive session is for the following purpose: for a conference with the county attorney for a purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions under CRS section 24-6-402, parens 4, parens B. I think that's probably all right. Isn't that all right?
It's not electronically recorded because the attorney-client privilege. We'll be discussing those matters. Did you want to state who's present, or do that afterwards?
Second.
Yeah. So included in the session will be the county attorney, staff, and the county manager and the assistant county manager and the three commissioners.
Second.
She already seconded. I caution each participant to confine all discussion to the stated purpose of the executive session, that no formal action may occur in the executive session. If at any point in the executive session any participant believes the discussion is going outside of the proper scope of the executive session, please interrupt the discussion and make an objection. Current time right now is 1:10. And all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So it is now 1:52, and we are returning to the open meeting. The executive session has been concluded. The following persons were present during the executive session. Again, there was the county attorney, assistant county attorney, and then paralegal, and then the county manager and assistant county manager and the three commissioners. Board limited its discussion to the purpose stated in the motion to go in executive session, and there's no formal action is taken. So we're off for a little bit until 2 o'clock.
We'll be safe for a few minutes.
Safe.
Just don't make any agreements.
Well, actually, we can go ahead and start off because actually Tom's leading us off anyhow. So we're here with our 2 o'clock agenda item. It's public hearing on the proposed Marabou Ranch Metropolitan District Service Plan for the formation of a special district pursuant to CRS 32-1-102 and to consider adoption of a resolution approving the service plan. So, Tom, I'll lead it off to you. You've been doing the legwork on this. So
sure. Most. Just start off, let you know that Mr. Anko and his team have been very professional, so I appreciate the work effort and very responsive, and so I hope he can say the same thing about us, that we've been responsive to move this request along. So to get to the you're hearing here is that for the special districts, and in this case the creation of a metropolitan district, they have a service plan that identifies the services and the purpose of the metro district. And your role in this is to approve the service plan either with conditions, without conditions, or to deny the service plan. Through our due diligence, we've had the biggest role that we have is review of the finances, and that the financial package is put together is a sound financial package. I believe it is. You have your opinion from a George K. Baum Association company citing the financial plan is they had no issues with the financial plan, and that the should be ready to go to hear the presentation from Mr. Anko and his team. I don't know if Eric, if you have any comments you'd like to make, but I see no reason as far as county staff goes not to approve the metro district for the Baraboo Ranch.
I don't have any additional comments.
So, you know, I guess the other things, Tom, it'd be good to give the 1 minute or 2 minute version of why we came up with these process in the first place.
Sure. Yeah, we had
basically our responsibilities and how we got to where we got on another situation a little bit.
Right, under Title 32, Special Districts, the Board of County Commissioners in this case, since the Metro District formation is within the jurisdiction of the county in the unincorporated area, it's the responsibility of the Board of County Commissioners to approve such service plans. Your approval means the next step, that the district will go to the district court, and the judge will determine whether or not approve the board.
There's a petition that's submitted to the district court requesting an election to be held. So the court will pass on the sufficiency of the proceedings leading up to that point, which includes this proceeding, as well as the necessary signatures on the petition so that the court can order an election in November.
So this court will set the date for the election, is that correct?
It's the regular election date, same as...
Regular election date, okay.
Will that occur this election? No.
Yes, it'll be this,
it'll this election. Oh.
So what we've done, we did create this quite a few years ago, a policy and to identify our procedures for how we would handle a review of special districts. Many times there's going to be some expertise that is needed to help us in that review that we don't have on staff, and needing to pay for that, then we do an agreement with the proponents of the special district to cover those costs. In this case, the only added costs were for the financial review that was performed by George K. Baum Association. I'm responsible for moving this project through, but if it wasn't for the county attorney's office, their assistance, we wouldn't be here today either. So it's everybody working together that got us to this point. Any other questions about process?
No. Any questions, Tom?
No.
I guess we'll turn it over to you guys.
Okay. Well, I would like to turn it over to Jim as a resident out there. I thought it would be helpful for you to hear from the resident's perspective why this came about and why it's important to them. And Jim, you want to make a few remarks, and then I'll run through my PowerPoint.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks, Bill. Jim DeFrancia. I'm a resident out there full time. I've been out there maybe 4 years come November. I previously served on the HOA board. And we have a lot of infrastructure that was there that was done by the developer when we moved in. We've got, I think, close to 20 miles worth of road. We've got 35 or more miles worth of fencing. We've got this water system. And we do also a lot of maintenance on about 2 miles of frontage on the Elk River on the embankments. Up to this point, they've been funded through the Homeowners Association, just as part of our dues and assessments, and administered through the Homeowners Association. But I've personally had some extensive background in dealing with metro districts. I'm in the development business and have encountered those before, both in my own activity, and also I've been a receiver on some failed projects and run metro districts that were in trouble as well. My recommendation to the board was that having a metropolitan district would be, particularly with regard to the water system, a much better way to govern our fishery, our utility. It's a quasi-governmental agency. You have some greater governmental scrutiny. You've got some assured guarantee of deep mandated transparency to it, as opposed to having an HOA, because an HOA, time we get 60 owners out there, you never know who's going to be on the board at one time. HOAs can be finicky. So we thought a metro district would be a better way to go about this. So we retained Bill, and I looked at my own experience and talked to him, and Scott is our general manager out there. We've had wide discussion within the owners association. There are 45 owners right now. It was brought to a vote of the entire membership last December at the annual meeting. It was unanimously adopted. The board unanimously endorsed it, and so we elected to go forward. So that's what's behind it all, and that's why we want to organize it. And it fundamentally is to deal with our infrastructure issues, not building them like a builder would, but going forward in terms of maintenance, capital costs, replacement costs, things of that nature.
So, what, I mean, question. I mean, it doesn't matter. In fact, I'm not even going to ask questions.
No. Go ahead. It might be an issue. You never
know. Well, you answered my question, which is why not just have the HOA do it?
Yeah.
So.
I guess the other question, I mean, in my own mind, it seemed like if you pay taxes, property taxes on it, those taxes are ended up being deductible versus your HOA dues are not being deductible.
That is true. And, of course, now with the new tax law, it all depends on everybody's individual.
Yeah, right.
Individual may tax situation. It may or may not help you out because there's now a cap on what you can take for mortgage interest and other dues. So, but our primary motivation was really just having it in a governance structure that was more in the public domain, subject to public scrutiny and transparency, given the fact that these really are fundamentally utility systems. We thought that was a better way to do it than through an HOA.
And I think, in addition, we've got access to tax-exempt municipal financing, where
correct,
the association would not. We also may have opportunities under state grant programs as a public entity that an association wouldn't have. And then we also, those special districts have governmental immunities, such as you have, that also becomes part of the package that just represents a clear, improvement over the association model. We're seeing this around the state a fair amount. We see associations and districts, consolidating their services to some extent. That's authorized under the Metro District Act. It's not being fully consolidated here, but we're taking the public components, those that are types of services and facilities that are typically in the public domain, and packaging them into the Metro District structure.
So procedurally, I have a question. You needed a vote of the HOA in order to petition for a special district?
We didn't so much need one as we just called for one. We explained it. We've been working on this for about 2 years. And myself and a couple of the other members of the HOA board put together an information packet and simply explained it to our fellow homeowners about why we thought this was a good idea, and endorsed their ask for their endorsement to proceed.
And there are five, there's a five-member board of directors that is elected at the time of the election when it's held in November. The process for getting that set up means that we had to go out into the community and identify who those five individuals would be, and we do in fact
have those,
all five ready to petition for their participation on the board of directors. They have to actually be formally elected.
So some of the special districts are different, that you can be a Colorado resident and not be a full-time resident there and still be able to vote. Is that how this is going to be as well?
Any person, any individual who is a Colorado resident and registered to vote is eligible, whether or not they live full-time.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought so.
So is it up to the board to set the mill levy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
they,
we have to go, so
they
we
can change the mill levy on an annual basis as
they can.
Necessary to,
right.
Yeah, that's right. To right. Support the project.
And something about this project which is helpful, a lot of new districts that we organize don't have any operating history at all. And so, we're working based on estimates and assumptions. This one has been operating for a while now, and so we've got really confident in the numbers that we have on the operating side because they're actual numbers that the association has been experiencing, which helped in the development of our financing plan and the confidence in.
But to be clear, it's a vote of the board, not a vote of the membership.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah, there's a there will be an election question that authorizes certain Tabor.
That's what I was going to.
Taxes
too,
so. and revenues that you can receive, and so that all the property owners will vote on the outer boundaries, if you will. The authorization is there, but then it's the board that would implement within the needs of the community what the actual mill levy.
So, in other words, the election will include a maximum mill levy that can be charged.
It does not include a maximum mill levy. The service plan has a maximum mill levy in it for debt service. But we don't typically include that maximum in the election questions themselves because the service plan
is governed for debt service, but not for operations.
Not for operations. Yeah, we think that it's a bad idea to put a cap on your operating mill levy because if you don't have enough money, then your facilities that you have are not going to be operated and maintained properly. And in any event, in terms of the budget law that special districts are subject to, they have to base their budgeting on reasonable expectations of cost. They can't make things up. Run through this. By the way, we did consult with your special district policy that you have in the county and worked with the county staff to make sure that we towed the line in terms of that. So we'll just run through the PowerPoint here, some of which we've already covered. Again, this is not a district that is a developer district. That you may have seen before, so we're not proposing the tens of millions of dollars of debt. We're only proposing to acquire the water system and then operate and maintain through easements the remaining improvements. So we've got our potable water system, internal roads, perimeter fencing, and riparian improvements being the primary focus, as it has been by on the part of the association previously. Organizational steps we've really talked about. We've submitted our service plan. We've published and mailed notice of the public hearing as required by statute. This is our public hearing. When we're finished with this, we will have the petition signed by the property owners out there. It has to be signed by a minimum of 30% of the property ownership. And then we'll file with the district court to call the election. This is just a graphic depiction of the location of the project.
So you said 30%. Is that 30% of the people or 30% of the ownership? Or
30% of the ownerships of the Colorado residents that own the property.
Okay, there's X number of lots and 30% of them.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So one guy might have two. He might have two lots, might have two votes.
So you are eligible to sign the petition if you're a, quote, tax-paying elector, which means that you are an individual and you own property within the district, or you have a spouse who owns property within the district.
So can a husband and a wife have two votes on their one piece of property?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And the vote is just a simple majority of those who actually vote at the election. It's not, you don't have to have enough people equal to 51% of the total ownership. So there's a small sliver that was just described separately. Yeah, we've really covered most of this. Our public improvement, the water system will be conveyed to the district in fee.
Is that currently owned by the HOA?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be conveyed to the district at less than what the cost was to build it. It was about a $3.6 million original construction cost. And the association is going to convey it for something in the order of $1 million. That's what we planned for. And we'll get easements over all the other property that we're maintaining to enable us to get access to it and do the things that the district needs to do.
Is the board limited to the originally stated purposes, or do they have the ability to expand other public?
We are authorized to provide a suite of services under the Special District Act, and those consist of water, sanitation, roadways, drainage, park and rec, transportation.
So the board of directors could choose to install a centralized Oasis system.
They could.
Even
they
though could. It's not specifically identified.
Right, okay. Right. The idea is that we establish some financial parameters and we live within those financial parameters. And then as long as we're operating within the boundaries of the Special District Act, those two factors combine to constrain the district's discretion.
That's the thing we've been having the discussions about, and how at CCI they've had discussions about a material change of the of the plan.
Would somewhat a wastewater system constitute a material change that they'd have to come back and talk to us about?
I don't know.
These questions are just purely out of curiosity.
Sure. No, happy to. I've been doing special districts since 1982, so hopefully I can answer some of the questions.
We're going to get some free labor advice today.
So we have our mill levy cap for debt service, which is 50 mills. We call it 50 mills Gallagherized. So it's a 50 mill cap to the extent that our debt is in excess of 50% of our assessed value. If you issue debt that is less than 50% of the assessed value, then the plan provides that the mill levy cap can go away. The reason for that is our studies have shown and economics show that if you're at if you have more than 50% of your assessed value relative to your debt, it's highly unlikely that that mill levy gets out of hand. So we typically provide for what we call a roll-off of the 50 mil cap when those circumstances come into play. The Gallagherization component means that as residential assessed values decline, which they just did this year, we have the ability to adjust that mill levy to offset for the lost revenue so that we preserve the status quo with respect to revenues, notwithstanding a declining AV market. It's a nice position to be in. Not everybody is in that position, unfortunately.
What happens when the ratio, residential assessment ratio, gets changed?
When it goes down?
Yeah.
Because it's not going up, I don't think.
No, it's definitely going down.
We see the levy up.
You're Gallagherized for that as well.
But again, the idea is you maintain the status quo ante, if you will, in that setting. And again, no limit on the operations levy, so we can properly maintain our facilities. So our overall debt cap is $4.25 million. That's based on, we have bond issues projected of, or it might be a tax-exempt loan with a local bank, of $1 million for the water system. It's part of the financing plan. And then out in 2026, we have a $2 million issue proposed for purposes of road overlays and fencing replaced, capital maintenance, I would call it, more than, it's not really new construction. So, you know, that's, we always put in a higher debt cap because we don't really know what the costs, where the costs are going to go. And as long as we have our limited mill levy, we feel that that provides adequate control over the debt situation out there. So we usually have our debt cap as a conservative number. We can use general obligation bonds, special assessment financing. There may be some grants that are available, as I mentioned, but basically whatever is statutorily authorized, we have the right to go after. And then we can use any revenues. We have property tax, primarily property taxes and fees are going to be the drivers of this. And really those are the only two district revenue sources. Other revenue sources would be outside of the metro district. As I mentioned, two bond issues, $1 million issue, either this year or next, probably next, and then another one out in 2026 of about $2 million. We worked with Scott on the operations side to get a read on when he thought, because the association's already been planning for the future capital maintenance, and we just incorporated that information into our financial planning.
What's the length of the term?
20 years.
Both of them?
Yeah. We can go longer, but for amounts this low, 20 years is doable. So we've got other limits in the service plan. We can't exceed that debt limit or the mill levy cap without coming back for a material modification hearing before you to amend the service plan. We don't have any revenues of the county plugged into the financing plan. The debt that we issue is not in any way, shape, or form a responsibility of the county. We do have to give public notice, so we record a notice of organization and certain essential financial powers that gets so that anybody who buys a lot or out there will, the title company will pick up the recorded notice of the organization of the district with the basic financial authority that it has.
Is that a, is that voluntary on your part as part of this?
Statutory.
So I thought we had some troubles getting reports to the counties can't automatically demand a report from special districts unless they're above a certain size.
I don't think that's right.
Maybe I'm confused about that.
Yeah, I think you can. There's a section of the statute that refers to an annual report, and that actually we've got a reference to it in the service plan here. And if you request, if the county requests an annual report, you're entitled to get one from the special district, you know, containing what intergovernmental agreements or other agreements have you entered into, do you have any outstanding litigation, let's see your budget, any material departures with regard to performance under any bond covenants, those kind of, any boundary changes, you know, those are all things that if you make a request of a special district that you have control over.
And there's not a threshold for the size of the district. Because that was a sore subject with Montrose County, one of their special districts.
It was one of the fire districts that they had, yeah.
Yeah, that they couldn't.
Well, they were probably in trouble with DOLA anyhow, so.
You know, the, there were districts that a long time ago didn't have service plans. It was the Wild West back then. They just, you know, had a petition and it was very, very little oversight. That all has changed now. And part of that whole enforcement or management process was in part to give the county adequate authority to request data about those taxing entities that exist within their boundaries.
Commissioner Corrigan, I think I recall what you're talking about. It was in South Round, of course, and it was Mr. Chocum demanding that the county requests such information. I think it was from the Metro District down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Morris Creek.
Morse Creek, right? But my issue with that was it wasn't going to answer the question that he wanted to have answered, and that their Metro District's service plan was published online, and he could have easily accessed that himself.
Okay.
So as part of your formal action today, we've provided a resolution to Eric that would call for the approval of the service plan. And there are a number of findings that are set forth in that resolution that are statutory, so I just wanted to run over those with you before we take it any further. Yes, sir.
If we could do that at the taking of the motion as a reminder of what the findings are that you're requesting. The finding that I was going to request was to the notices.
And okay, I'm sorry, what's your question?
If we can, when we get to the motion, assuming the board is going to approve the service plan, that we remind them of what findings you want at that point.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure they're listed in there. If I need to...
They are, but I'm assuming they want them on record as well.
And these are the actual statutory findings that we're about to run through. Will that work for you, Eric, to...
I just didn't see them written down in an area.
Yeah, and we didn't get a copy of the resolution either, so.
And we don't have a resolution in the packet either.
I have the resolution here.
Perfect. So whoever makes
the resolution, the findings.
And it has the four findings?
There's actually eight.
Oh, eight.
I think.
I'll let you run through.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's got the four findings.
Okay.
But actually, can I see that resolution?
You might be talking about that.
There are more findings than what.
Let you know how it turns out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Best of luck. Is that better?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is a findings light. This it says the first four, the second four are really similar to the first. And it's really just an oversight that the other four are not listed here, but they are part of the resolution that itself. So, is there sufficient need for organized services? I think that's demonstrable. We have 62 lots out there. We have existing improvements out there that need to be maintained. And as I've mentioned, the Metro District has access to a type of financing that the association does not have. The existing service in the area is inadequate for present and projected needs. We think that this is met because the district, forming the district and conveying the ownership and maintenance of those improvements, allows greater flexibility with regard to the financing, which I keep hitting on, but that's really the bell to ring here. Tax benefits to the owners and liability protection in the form of governmental immunity. The proposed district is capable of providing economic and sufficient service. This is demonstrated by the financing plan, which has been reviewed by George K. Baum, and they did not have any issues with what was presented in there. We've got our, and again, the financing plan shows how the debt gets paid off. Area included within the proposed district has and will have the financial ability to discharge the proposed indebtedness on a reasonable basis. The financing plan also demonstrates this because it shows how the debt gets paid over time. It's got reasonable assumptions of growth. Only two homes a year are projected as part of the financing plan, and I think we've got two already under construction this year, and then two more.
Two likely to start by year end, yeah.
So we're actually a little bit ahead of what our financing plan assumed in terms of number of home starts.
But the potable water system is adequate to service 62 houses?
Yes.
Yes.
It's actually adequate to serve 79 homes.
Okay.
The other findings that are listed in the resolution, I'll just mention to you, they are stated in the service plan. Adequate service won't be available through the county.
That's a true statement.
I thought you might agree with that one. The facility and service standards of the district are compatible with any applicable service standards that the county may have, and the system's already out there, so I think it's already checked that box. If there's any master plan applicable to this area, we're not changing anything in respect to prior compliance. And if there's any regional or state long-range water quality management plan, we're not in violation of that. And I think that our water system is operated subject to Colorado Health Department with regard to water quality, and testing occurs
annually or quarterly, depending on what testing requirements are needed by the state. And we also publish our annual quality report sent out to all the owners and online for anyone to view.
Are you the individual that operates the?
I am not. I'm just the manager of the property.
So
we have a certified water engineer that does that. Yeah.
Might be ours, I think, too.
Huh?
Is it Scott?
Scott.
Yeah. I think he might be ours.
So that concludes my PowerPoint. Eric, I don't know if you need more, what you need from me at this point. We have to do the public hearing, obviously.
Yes, as for the question I think that Commissioner Hermosinski asked, Tom provided an outline of the findings within the communication form.
Oh, yeah?
It's on the second.
Can you get another light? Still have it. Hit the one here. Thank you. That's much better.
Yeah, in the
second paragraph.
And it's also included in the service plan.
Yeah, if you look at the last page of the service plan before, it's on page 9 of the service plan. There's a list.
And that's MAC. Is that identical to what's in the resolution?
Should be pretty darn close.
Okay.
So I'm just a little confused here, Eric. Where the findings are this second paragraph that's in Tom's email? Or are the findings here now for that be resolved? And there's 1, 2, 3, and then there's A, B, C, D, all the way down to I on 3, and then there's 4, 5, and 6.
All of the above.
All of the above, okay.
And in addition to that, it's in the service plan.
So you could just say that now, therefore, be resolved items 1 through 6 as listed in the resolution. You don't have to read them all out loud.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And then this second is this second paragraph is a finding too, or what?
you don't need to worry about it. It was just summary.
That's a summary.
Okay. It's just what's in the resolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's in the resolution is adequate.
Yes.
Yes.
And we don't really need to read the whole thing out loud. We could just identify.
Is it your preference?
I think you could move to adopt the resolution that was presented
it's going to be
before
posted
you,
and
including
recorded.
The findings stated therein.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Anybody have any questions? Do you guys have any other comments?
No questions, no comments.
I guess I have a comment before we go on. I think you guys are doing a great job out there.
Thank you.
I appreciate the work you grew up out there. I grew up on the property, so
you did
not live there, but we rented that place probably all the time as a kid, 20, 30 years.
Well, we're taking good care of you.
Oh, I know you are.
Still running.
We appreciate it. Yep. Yeah, you guys have done a good job on the river and the rest too. So,
and I guess my comment would be it seems to be a complete and thorough package that you brought to us without holes in it that we're trying to fix here at the hearing. So.
Appreciate that. Good governance, too. Yep. So I would move that we approve Resolution 2008. Do you have anything else?
Just real quick, procedurally, I don't know if we formally opened the public hearing.
Okay.
At least I didn't hear that we did.
No, we didn't.
So let's go ahead and formally open the public hearing. If nobody wants to speak, then we can close it. And
okay,
proceed.
I'm fine with that. I would have thought we did. But so we need to open the public hearing regarding the Marabu Ranch Metropolitan District. Is there anybody here that has any comments that have been made so to date? So with that, we'll close the public hearing for the Marabu Ranch Metropolitan District, right?
I think that's it was an excellent hearing.
I would short and brief to the point. I would move that we approve Resolution 2018-039, a resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Rock County approving the service plan for the Marabu Ranch Metropolitan District, including in that approval would be all the findings that were included in the resolution. And that will be attached and recorded here too.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Frankly, if you did read the agenda title, as you started up, you did open the public hearing because that's the way my agenda title was written.
Ah.
Right.
Okay.